So these great souls could see that. They could see their father behind. See, you and I focus on the form, but they could go beyond the form to the reality, which is the reality of every one of us, each and every one of us. And once you understand that one-tenth of it is a rope, then the whole snake disappears. So once you understand that I am that reality, that's all you need to understand. You don't need to worry about the world. You say, I am that reality. Once you understand that and you experience that, that's what we always meditate on, that I am that reality. Once you have that experience, then this whole world disappears. Disappears does not mean that the world dies, but then you see that oneness, that what he alone is. Then this whole projection disappears. It's like the dream. You know, in the dream, I project the whole world, right? In my dream, I am sleeping, and then I project that I am in Africa. Then I create a forest, and I'm running in the forest, and there is a tiger chasing me, and then I run up the tree. Then I'm sitting up in the tree and the tiger is trying to catch me. And then in that fear, I wake up and I am all sweating and, oh, thank God, there is no tiger. There is no Africa. I am safely sleeping in my bed in Bakersfield. Now that tiger was not real. The forest was not real. Even I was not real. In that dream, I created an illusory world where for a short while, for a few minutes, and it seemed like hours, you know, when I was running and then I was up there and the tiger was waiting, I was so scared. It seemed like, and sometimes dreams last for months or years, you know, like people grow up in the dream and become older and then all that happens, but the dream is actually only a few minutes. But in my dream, I might see years, you know, that I was little and then I came to America. All that you can see in your dream. So just as the dream is a projection, is not real, but while you are in the dream, do you say the dream is not real? You are sitting up on that tree and the tiger is trying to jump and catch you. And then a wise man comes, you know, a saint, you know, with the orange clothes. And he says, son, this tiger is not real. This tree is not real. You are not real. You will say, are you a fool or what? Like we tell this person, you know, what happened, you know? He's telling you this world is not real. And you say, did you have something to drink? You know, because we make fun of these wise people, or we torture them, or we persecute them, or we crucify them. That's what we do to our wise people. You know, because we don't believe them. They tell us something which we are not accustomed to hearing. And all the great saints, look at Mirabai and Tukaram and Gyaneshwar, and all these saints were persecuted. Some of the Sikh gurus, they were all persecuted by the people, because they did not understand them. So when the wise person tells me in my dream that this tiger is not real, this forest is not real, you are not real, we do not believe him. Because when I am in the dream looks very real, right? And you wake up and then you are almost sweating and your heart is going 150 beats a minute and you are all scared and sweating and shaking. So similarly, they say this world at this moment is an illusory projection, is a dream, which is a projection in the mind of God. He is a master magician, and he created this illusory world in which we are living. As long as you consider the world as real and say, I am living in this world, you will be caught in the joys and sorrows of this world. But once you wake up to that higher reality, then you become a realized master. Then you become a Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya or Guru Nanak or Jesus. You become a realized prophet or master. Then you see, this world is just a projection upon my father. Everything. Until you wake up, you will not be convinced of these verses. These verses are meant to wake us up, to tell us that don't only focus on this world. Yes, you have to function in the world. We're not saying that you stop functioning because the world is not real. I don't have to work. No, you have to work. If you get a pain in your knee, you don't say the pain is not real. No, you go to the doctor and you take Tylenol, or if you have to get a shot in the knee or get surgery, whatever you need, you do it. But underneath, you have the understanding that this world is actually nothing but that one God. Everything is that one, appearing in different names and forms. My Father in heaven, my Lord, my hearing, He has created this world for me to evolve, for me to study, for me to experience, for me to enjoy. So take this world as a game. Don't take this world too seriously. Joys and sorrows, it's okay. You know, I am that infinite truth. I am always happy. Nobody can make me miserable. I never die, so nobody can kill me. I'll never die because I am that reality. My body may perish, so what? So what's the problem? Nothing happens to me. Joys and sorrows come and somebody loves me, somebody hates me. It's okay. I am that reality. Nothing can touch me. Once you understand that, then you become fearless. Then even the whole Roman Empire could not suppress that one single individual. He could stand up to that Roman. Even they crucified him. They still could not crush him. He actually is shining a lot more. The empire and emperor are long gone. But Jesus is still shining all over the world. The other point about this is that once you understand it's not real, things do not affect you that much. There's another little example. I know the time is running, but this subject is good. And maybe even if we have to stay a little or maybe cancel the meditation. But say I went to somebody's house one time, and I went there, and the hostess, you know, there was this fruit, a bowl of fruits, very beautiful, shiny, you know, right in front of me. I was in the living room, and on the center table there was this bowl of fruits right in front of me. I was sitting on the couch, on the sofa, and the hostess went, said, okay, I'll get you a cup of tea or coffee. So she went to make the coffee, and so I was sitting getting bored. There was nobody else at home, and so I said, these fruits look delicious. So I, you know, took a grape and bit into it. Turned out to be plastic. You know, oh, and it tasted horrible. Now, having understood that this grape is not plastic, will I think, let me try the apple and bite it and see if the apple? No, that is also plastic or wax. That whole bowl of all the fruits are not real. Not only that, but I never ever again will look for sweetness in that grape, right? Will I think that that grape will give me sweetness? Because the nature of that plastic is not to have sweetness. Sweetness is in the real grape. If I'm looking for sweetness in the false grape, I'll never find it. Even after 1,000 years, if I come back, or maybe not 10 years later, I come back to her house, and again I'm sitting there, and again that bowl of fruit is there. Next time I'll never bite that grape. Because I know, oh, I remember 10 years ago, I made this mistake. So having understood that the grape is not real, but is a plastic or a wax, I'll never look for sweetness in that. So having understood that this world is a temporary appearance on that Almighty Father, which is a Brahman, the totality, then I cannot look for permanent happiness in this world, because the world cannot give me that sweetness which the Father in heaven can give me. No, it's not, if I'm, because these are all false grapes. And we are looking for permanent sweetness in false grapes. Look for it in the real grape. The world can never give you permanent happiness. You ask anybody, what are you looking for? Happiness. Okay, good. Are you looking for temporary happiness or permanent happiness? He said, if I'm happy for 1 year, it is good. The rest 30 years of my life, I'm miserable, it's fine. No. He said, I want happiness in this year. I want in 2014, 15, 16, 17. I want permanent happiness at all times, in all places, in all situations. Nobody is looking for temporary happiness. And the world cannot give you permanent happiness because the world is not permanent. Only something that is permanent can give you permanent happiness. So stay in that permanent and function in the world. We are not saying that the world is to be ignored. But do not give too much importance. It's that false grape. Do not look for sweetness. It's not going to give you that. It's like a movie. You know, you see a movie projecting, right? And there is a screen. The movie starts going and then people come and get so involved. And then they start crying when the heroine is suffering. And, oh, they feel so sad. Oh, no, the poor thing. And look at this evil man. He came and did this to her and that to her. And then that poor husband, his property is gone and he becomes poor. And this evil landlord, you know, in Indian movies, always there's an evil landlord who takes away all the all the money of the poor hero. And then he's suffering and we start crying and we become so sad. And people do. They actually start crying in movies. Or in soap operas, they get so involved. Why is that guy doing that? And then they, you know, that this person dies. They say the person is not dead. It's just he wanted to leave the show because his, you know, his part was over. He wants to do, and they start becoming so sad, you know, because in the soap opera, this guy has been for 5 years and he becomes a member of your family. And suddenly they kill him. Oh, such a trend. The guy just wanted another role. He was tired of doing that same part for 5 years. So he said, okay, kill me, you know. So watch this world as a movie. Watch it as a soap opera. It's happening. Okay, the game is going on and I am watching it. And once you do that, then you will not depend too much on this world for happiness. You will not look for sweetness in the world. You will look for sweetness in within. Because the sweetness is within, because I am that. I am that infinite, all-pervading reality, because everything is that. There is no difference. And I am fine. Whether people love me or not, whether my health is going or not, I am fine. That understanding you must develop. That nobody can make me unhappy. Nobody. Swami Chinmayananda used to say, do not put the key of your happiness in somebody else's pocket. Do not give him the key so that he can turn the key and make you happy and then turn the key other way and make you unhappy. I am happiness. Nobody can make me happy or unhappy. Yes, in the world, situations will come and I will deal with them, but I am perfect. I am good. That is the essence of this idea that the world is unreal. So we are not saying that the world is not real. It is a relative reality. It is a temporary reality. It is a play. It is a movie. It is an illusion. Function in the world, but never forget the Almighty Father. That is who I really am. And see that everywhere. So that is, I don't know if I have been able. It's a very, very difficult subject and lot of people here are, you know, beginners to Vedanta, but I tried my best. I'm sorry if I couldn't do that, but this is what I could do the best. Are people convinced or you are not yet? Yeah, it's very difficult. It's actually Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary on the Ishavasya Upanishad has written a commentary on this verse. And so from that commentary, having listened to the other great teachers, I prepared this little talk. I've given this talk before, but not in so much detail. Because I thought, you know, it's important. That's why we spent almost an hour. Does anybody have any questions or comments? It's a difficult subject, and what you need to do, what I would suggest is please, once he puts it on the web, any of my other talks you may or may not hear, but watch for this particular talk. It's called firstpower.info. First power is one word, firstpower.info. And please spend an hour and re-listen to it. It's beautiful concept. It's not mine. It's whatever I've heard from Swami Chinmayananda and all these other teachers. Listen to this again, because this will make things very clear. What is world? What is creation? Who is God? and what is my relationship with God and what is my relationship with everybody else. Please listen to that. I just, you know, request you, because that will, because it helped me. I mean, not that I have realized or nothing, but intellectually, at least, I think I have understood a little bit. Of course, to realize is far away, but at least intellectually, I, you know, tried. So please listen to that. It, within about a week or within 3-4 days, it will be put up. Probably tomorrow. So just listen to that and just spend an hour and just replay that. Because one time to get this concept is not easy. This is something you need to listen again and again. Maybe sit down and listen and make notes and think about it, because it's not going to click just like that. Because we have, from childhood, we have been conditioned to think this world is real. From the time we were an amoeba and we evolved, we were thinking this body is real. I am this body and this world is real. So then you don't take the world too seriously. And then you are always happy. The saints are always happy. No matter what is happening to them, they're always singing and joyful. Why? Because this world cannot make me unhappy. I am happiness. If you want true permanent happiness, that is the only way. Knowledge. So this verse is beautiful. Whoever that Rishi composed it was a great, very great soul. See, the teachings of the Upanishads are purposely put in obtuse language, which, so you can't understand it. That is complete, this is complete, the complete emerged from the complete, and the complete is negated from the complete alone remains. You'll think that, you know, what is he talking? But the Rishi wants you to understand and wants you to think, and that is what the scriptures do. They make us think, and that's Swami Chinmayananda always used to say, think, think, think. Only when you think, then it will become yours. Some of these great thinkers and these artists and these story writers are very evolved, like Shakespeare. You know, he said, all this world is a stage and we are all actors. And that is the essence of that. And all these, that's how the creativity can only come from God. So when there is an artist who is creating a beautiful painting like Leonardo da Vinci, or if a poet is making beautiful poetry, or somebody is singing a beautiful song, composing a beautiful lyrics, or creating a drama or a novel, it has to come. That's why they say these creative artists are very much in touch with their inner self. They say, you know, it comes from within. You ask them, how did you think about this poem, or how did you think about this painting? He says, I don't know. It just came when I was sitting. The song just came, or the tune just came. That's why I wonder how these musicians, all these millions of songs there are in the world, and not one of them has the same tune as the other. How great must be these musicians. I always, you know, I am not at all musically, you know, oriented. So I always admire these musicians or these poets or these writers. Anything creative, you have to see the Lord in them. In the 10th chapter, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, wherever you see anything beautiful, anything glorious, you see me there. So see God in all these beautiful paintings and these poems. That is the essence. See, that experience you had when you were, you know, very depressed, and then suddenly you wake up one morning and you find everything perfect. That's the same experience Eckhart Tolle describes in his book, The Power of Now. If you read that book, he describes exactly what you were saying. So what you have to do is that instead of trying to focus and try to recreate that experience, that was a creation of the mind. You were happy at that moment. What you go is go within. And as you go within deeper and deeper in meditation, you will experience that same joy. Eventually that state will appear. And don't focus on trying to create an experience. Because if you're trying to create your experience, you are still in the world. You are still in the BMI. It is still an experience of the mind. It was a pleasant experience, but it is still an experience of the mind. So go within and say, okay, thank you, God, for giving me that experience. I really appreciate it. Now I want to find it within. And as you go deeper in meditation, you will get that same joy that you had that experience. It will come slowly. In fact, people, when they go into deep meditation, they get waves of joy arising, like fountains of joy, unexplained. And that will happen. So don't worry about it. It's good. You had that. That was the Lord's way of waking you up. Just read that book, The Power of Now. No, all these great saints, these great saints function. Swami Chinmayananda realized the truth when he was, probably about 30 years old. And after that, for 43 years, he was preaching the message and he was a realized master. You can tell from his teachings. Jesus didn't live very long, but whatever time he did, he functioned fine. Now look at Buddha. After he realized, he functioned for 30, 40 years. All these great saints, they wrote so many books and composed so many texts. So they were always established in the truth, but whatever duties you have to do, you do. But at the bottom of it, you realize, I am that, not this individual, I am not a woman, I am not a man, I am that infinite reality. And at this moment, I have not experienced it. I only experience it for a short while, or I experience in meditation. The more you meditate, the deeper you go, that experience will become more solid. And then the world will be less important for you, slowly, slowly. And you continue to function, but you function as a realized master.
I don't mean like I don't function, but I just don't enjoy many things. I just look, so I become more of a loner.
It's okay. So nothing wrong with that. So I used to enjoy going to parties. Now I don't. That's great. I don't waste my time. Same thing, when we first came to town, every Friday and Saturday night, we were invited to parties. Bakersfield is a party town. Everybody, especially the Indian community. And then slowly, slowly, as you start, doing other things, you realize that it's the same old thing happens. It's okay. If somebody didn't invite, and if you stop inviting people back, then they don't invite you. And that's the best way to get out of the party circuit. You stop inviting anybody else. They say, this guy never invited me. He came to my house. I'm not going to invite him. So it's okay. So if you used to, in fact, that is good. The things you used to enjoy, I don't enjoy more. That's good. But you should enjoy your own company. And that is very important. That I am fine just sitting with myself. I go to Hart Park, sit by the river. Actually, I keep repeating that. That's the most beautiful place. Sit under the tree. And the tree is like, it's like a yogi. It's like a mother, just holding you in its, it's so pretty. It's one of the most beautiful places. It's a very spiritual place. Just sit down on the bench under the tree and hear the sound of the river. There is nothing better than that. You can sit for an hour or go up the Kern River and sit on the rocks and watch that beautiful, mighty Kern River flowing. I mean, we have so many beautiful, you don't need to go to Yosemite and you don't need to go to, Sequoia and all. We have everything here. Just go and sit and enjoy the beauty, or even in your own, any garden, just go and sit under the tree and enjoy your own company. And that's good. And read the books. If you don't enjoy going to parties, then sit and read or listen to good talks. Or, we have so many teachers coming here every month. Come and listen to them. And that's how this will become more clear for you. Instead of listening only once a week to me on Thursdays, start listening to all these great teachers. And you will find that slowly, slowly, the world will not give you that much sorrow.